If you would open this morning to Genesis 47, we'll dive in, see how far we can get here, and go through. Remember now that Joseph's brothers know who he is. He sent them back to get his father. He's on his way, and last week we saw that God ministered to Jacob and to tell him to go down to Egypt, and he comes now. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 47, then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, remember five in scriptures, the number of grace. He brings them in and presents them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. And they said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for we are servants, for thy servants, have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. So Joseph brings them in. Remember, he's already said before that he wanted to put them in the land of Goshen. It's in the northeast part of Egypt. It's a fertile land. It's a good land for cattle, for herds. And remember, they wanted to be separate. And because they were shepherds, and the Egyptians don't like shepherds, they wanted them to be separate, so they wanted them in that land. But Joseph here, faithful to come before Pharaoh and say they're there, but I just want you to know where they are, so in case you want to move them, in case you want to have a different place for them, he wasn't going to presume upon Pharaoh that this was the place that they should be. He wanted to make sure that it was Pharaoh's choice. And that's interesting to me, that he would do that, that he would come to that place of allowing the one who ruled over him to have the final say. Even though he was an ungodly man, he was an idol worshiper, he still went to him because it was his. It wasn't Joseph's to do. And what we see, too, is that the Lord moves on the heart of Pharaoh to do it. So Joseph, still trusting the Lord, still having the Lord first in his life, comes to an ungodly man knowing that God is going to take care of him no matter where he put them. And what's interesting too is all these people come down from Canaan. We know they're hungry. We know that there's a famine. But Jacob's old. He's kind of like us. And when you're older, and pay attention, kids, when you're older, you don't move like you do now. You've seen your father try and get up off the floor, haven't you? It's taken him longer and longer to do that. And for us that are older than him, it takes forever. We have Hoyer lifts that lift us up and get us up and get us moving anymore. But he came. And it's interesting, we get so settled in our ways at times that we don't want to move from where we are because we're comfortable. We know where everything is. We know those places that go. One of the times we went to Croatia, Kath and I and a bunch of people went. We were building Sunday school rooms for a church there, a Calvary Chapel in Croatia. And the first night we're at the pastor's house, and we just came off the plane. Jet lag was certainly there. Kath got up to go to the bathroom, said, the bathroom's this way, and immediately went down all the steps. Broke her collarbone. It was just amazing. We thought we knew where things were, and we were comfortable where we were at home, not so comfortable where we were there. But when God moves you to go into a new place, we certainly want to be in that place where, Lord, whatever your will is, let us do it. Don't be so stubborn in your old age or in the situations that you're in that you can't move from where you are. Lord, you want to change my heart? Then help me to be available for you to change it. Don't let me be so stubborn that I won't let you change my life, that I won't let you change my routines, that I won't let you change anything about me. Help me to be in that place where I listen to you and you can move, and I'll obey. And obedience is one of the hardest things, isn't it? But you know what? The more we obey the Lord, the more blessing we receive. There's blessings in obedience. And here's Jacob. He stopped along the way. He stopped at Beersheba because he wasn't going to go down to Egypt. Because remember, his father couldn't come down. He told his father, the Lord told his father, you can't come down to Egypt. And so he stops along the route, and the Lord visits him the last time. Seven times he visits Jacob, and he tells him it's okay to go down. And I'm telling you, it's all right. And so he comes. It's okay in our old age to move on, to go on. And we certainly don't want to stay in the same place that we are spiritually right now. That isn't my thing. If we just came in here just to play church and just to do the same thing that we always do and just to be in the same place that we always are when we go out, then we failed. We don't want to stay the same because I got stuff in me that I know God wants to get rid of, and I know God's got stuff in you that he wants to get rid of. So don't be afraid to move on from where you are. In fact, be encouraged to move on. Don't stay the same. God is still moving. God is still working. And if he's still working, the challenge for us is, are we going to be willing to still be working? And it's amazing. Wade mentioned Caleb. He comes into the land as an old man, and he wants to climb a mountain. The last thing I want to do at my age is climb a mountain. I like flat. And yet he goes because there's where the battle was. And there's where God had promised him that he was going to be able to go. And Moses had already promised that land to him, and he was ready to go. Whatever giants were there, he was ready to face them. And what are the giants that you're facing? Is it disease? Is it cancer? Is it school? Is it parents? What is it that you're facing that you don't want to go on? Be encouraged to keep moving because God is working. And they come, and it's interesting in verse 4, it says, they said, moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. Do something with those words, because those words aren't there just because they need to fill up pages. Sojourn. They aren't come there to stay. They're there to sojourn. They already knew that they were supposed to go back home. God had already impressed upon their hearts that this was just a temporary time. And you know what? The place that you're in right now is just a temporary time because we're going home to heaven. If you're saved, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you've come to that place where you've trusted in the blood of Jesus and the finished work on the cross, then you have a home in heaven. And when we leave here, we're going home. And soon would be good. I'm getting real tired. So keep praying. But they're there to sojourn in the land. They're come, and so for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spoke unto Joseph, saying, your father and your brethren are come unto you. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land, make thy father and thy brethren to dwell in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell. Let them go there. So he gives his approval. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. If you know any of them are workers, then let them work. Let them do it. Isn't it amazing that there's such a shortage in the world right now for people who want to work? But what does your scripture say? If you don't eat, or if you don't work, you don't eat. And yet, what are we doing now? We're paying people to sit there and play on their phones instead of doing the work that they want to do, that they should be doing. God wants his people at work. And our work is to trust his word, to trust him for who he is, and to walk in his ways. Not to be couch potatoes, not to be pew potatoes, but to get up and to be visibly working for the kingdom of God. Our witness, our working in the world is going to be a witness to them that we have a different God that we serve. We don't serve the God of our phone. Verizon is not your God. Please, if it is, you need a different God. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. an important principle that's going on here, an important thing that just has happened here. And it says this in Hebrews 7, verse 7. It says that, did I do the wrong one? I must have. Oh, no. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The less is blessed of the better. So who's the better one in this picture that we see right now? Jacob. Pharaoh, the ruler of the whole world, that's known at the time, had control of all these things. All the lands are coming to him. All the people groups are coming to him. And yet Jacob blesses Pharaoh because he's the better. Not because he has his own kingdom, but because he knows the God who rules the whole world. We see that in the New Testament at times when Paul is on trial and they think that they're ruling over him and pronouncing judgment upon Paul. And Paul turns it all around. And really the ones that are on trial are the judges that are there. And the Lord turns things right side up because things are upside down right now. And the world is so upside down. And we see the ways of the world. And we see the things that are going on in the world. But we're here to bless the ones that are around us so that they can see the goodness of God, his kindness, his mercy, his grace, so that they can come to salvation. We are the ones supposed to be blessing the people of the world by our presence here. And I wonder how many of us are real blessings to the people of the world. Oh. We demand of the world, and we shun the world because of their unrighteousness sometimes, when we're the ones that are supposed to be coming to bless them so that they know that there's a God that loves them, that wants to bless them. And Jacob, not uncomfortable in the position he's in. Remember, he's just a shepherd. He's got 12 kids. A lot of them are brats. And yet he comes. And Pharaoh standing before him, all the pomp, all the circumstances, he enters the room, and Jacob isn't afraid to be the blessing that he's supposed to be. And Lord, help us not to be intimidated by the people of the world, but instead, help us to love them, because Jesus came and he died for them. As bad as they are, and as awful as they are, they don't know any better. Just like you and I didn't know any better before we got saved. We were doing the things of the world. We had the ways of the world. We had the ways of the world in our hearts and our minds. And God stopped us, intervened in our lives, grabbed a hold of us, and gave us salvation because of the work on the cross. And he wants us now to be a blessing to those people. Oh, Lord, help me not to withhold what you want to give out. Because if Jesus didn't withhold all that he came to do, how can we withhold anything that he wants us to do? Oh, Lord, help us. We have so much to learn, don't we? Oh. And so Pharaoh in verse 8 says unto Jacob, how old are you? Amazing. Glad he said it to Jacob and not to his wife. He says to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the years of my life has been and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the day of their pilgrimage. And again, you look at the wording and you make sure that you're doing something with it because it says that he was a pilgrim. My pilgrimage, not my dwelling, but my pilgrimage. I'm just passing through this world like it tells us in Hebrews. We're just passing through. This is not our home. And if you're making this world to be your home, then you're in real trouble. And if all your desire is that the Bills would win today, you got some problems because you're making this world your home. And even Paul's still awake, so we know we're in good shape right now. If that's all it comes to is your favorite team winning, then you're dwelling in the world and you're not passing through. All these things are going to pass and all these things are going to go on. But one thing is going to last, the things that we've done for Christ. Lord, help me to be busy about your business and to hang on to who you are and not what I want. All these things in the world want us to be comfortable. Why? so that you dwell here. We're not to be comfortable in those things, because we should be uncomfortable because this isn't our home. You know how it is when you go to somebody else's house? You're uncomfortable because you're in a bedroom you've never been in before. You go, what am I doing here? You're uncomfortable because the routine is broken. And poor Wendy hanging out with us. She has to put up with us all week here. It's just everything is different for her. Everything is different for you and I because we're in this world. We shouldn't be comfortable here. We should be uncomfortable. And if you look at the news enough, you should be really uncomfortable. And as you put it together with Scripture, and you should be in your Word every day, is that the Word will show you how uncomfortable you should be, because we see the things that are going on around us that don't match up with God's kingdom. Lord, help me to be more uncomfortable than I am right now, so that I can be comfortable with you and uncomfortable with the ways of the world. And he says, few and evil are the days. Isn't it crazy? He's going to be 137 when he dies. And he says, few have been the years. I don't want to live that long. I'd rather go home now. Yeah, I'm almost jealous of people who are passing earlier than at my age right now. Because, Lord, that should be me. And you almost get jealous because they're home if they know Jesus. If they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then boy, they have a waking up that's going to happen, that's going to cause them to wish that they had known the Jesus that had called them. Because every man is going to have opportunity to know who Jesus is. He says, few and evil. The days are hard that we're in. I think the older we get, we see how awful they can be, how hurtful they can be. Kim and I were talking beforehand that when we were young, it didn't matter. Everything was great. But now we're getting older. You know, we've seen doctors more than we've ever seen in our lives. And we don't want to see them anymore. And yet those are the things that we do now. The hurts, the bruises. I mean, in your older age, do you realize all of a sudden your heart does something funky? And you go, oh, am I going to die? When you were a kid, who cared? And you jumped off 40-foot steps to land on the ground and drop and roll. And it was fun. And now you look at it and go, ain't no way I'm jumping off of this. Oh. And you're more cautious. When I go down the stairs now, the railing is my best friend. I'm not jumping from the top step down to the bottom. Oh, no, every step you count. One, two. Isn't it crazy? But I think that's just to show us and just to give us another hint. You need a new body, and I've got it for you. Oh, and can you wait for those new bodies? We'll be 30 again. And we'll act like it. It'll be great. It'll be even better because we're before our Lord. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and yet I'm not as old as my fathers were. And so Jacob blessed Pharaoh. He says it again, making sure that people know that we're the ones to be the blessing. And he went out from before Pharaoh. And Jacob placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession of the land in Egypt and the best of the land in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. So verses 11 and 12 here, Joseph shows grace, just like our Lord. Here's a type of Jesus, because he places them in this place that's a possession of the land. And doesn't Jesus do that with us? He's told us in John 14 that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And what's he going to do? He's going to place us there in the place that he's made, in the place that's prepared for us. And it's grace, because do you and I deserve to go to heaven? We haven't earned one part of heaven, but by his grace and his mercy, he puts us in the best of places. Oh, and we haven't even prepared that place. He did it for us. Oh, thank you, Lord. And Joseph nourished. Another type of Christ. Joseph nourished his father, his brethren, all his father's household with bread according to their families, with manna, with that feeding as God takes care of us and feeds us and gives us the living word. Everywhere else was famine. With him, there was nourishment. And doesn't it say that in Psalm 23 that he leads us into green pastures? Not brown pastures where there's no feeding. He leads us into green, good feeding pastures. And isn't that what he prayed for, what he did with his parents, with his relatives, with his brothers? He put them in the most fertile place in Egypt. Will God do anything less for you and me than Joseph did for his father? And remember, he could have been so mad at them, he could have just blown them all up, because they stripped off his coat, they threw him in a pit, they sold him as a slave, and they lied to his father about what happened to him. And yet, there was forgiveness. And what have we done to Jesus? What did we do to him on the cross? Because it was our sin that put him there, wasn't it? What did we do to Jesus? We took off his clothes and we gambled for him. We lied. We stole him. And yet there's forgiveness with him because of the blood of Jesus. And now we can enter in boldly to that throne of grace. And he has a place made for us. Ugh. Can't wait to see this. This is going to be great. And so in verse 12, Joseph nourishes his father, his brethren, all his household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land. There was a famine in the land, and the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by the reason of famine. It tells us this in Psalm 34, verse 10, it says this, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They were nourished. They were in a famine. They needed a good word. They needed some good feeding, and there's only one place of that good feeding, and that's in the Word. That's why we keep encouraging you, get in your Bibles, read through them, keep looking at your Bibles, keep reading them, because there's always something there for you to nourish you, to strengthen you in your walk that you have. I don't have your walk. You don't have my walk. We all need direction, and you aren't going to get it from me. Calvary Chapel can't save you. Calvary Chapel can't give you a direction to go. The Bible can, because he's the living Word. It's alive. And let it be alive in your hearts. Let it be alive in your lives. Get into it, read it, trust it, and then obey it. Don't just get saved and then sit there. Get saved and apply it to your lives and let it go. And let God be God in your life. And don't hinder what he wants to do. And pray that for me, because I'm constantly hindering him. Lord, I love you, but I'm not going to do what you say. Lord, I'll raise my hands in worship and I'll worship you, but I don't want to do what you say. Lord, you want me to leave living water and go to Macedon? Lord, are you crazy? That's kind of a hindrance, you know? It just as you resist. What? You want me to move? I'm old. Lord, and yet this has been the biggest blessing of my life, except for the salvation that he gives me. This has been a blessing. I know you're not blessed, but I'm really blessed because I have to get close to the Lord all the time. You're making me study, and it's wonderful. I'm thankful. So there's a famine in the land. All the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. So here in this place from verses 13 down to verse 22, you see Joseph governing over the lands, just as Jesus one day is going to govern over the lands. And it says that Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. He didn't skim off the top. He didn't take his share. He gave it all. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, and all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in your presence, for the money faileth? They came, if you read that, you can almost hear the whine going on. They're whining. But isn't that what we do best in our natural state? We whine. You guys are good whiners. I know, because I'm a good whiner. I whine constantly. The Lord says, suck it up, buttercup. You'll get better. He doesn't say that, but boy, I feel like he should. Give us bread. What are they looking for? They're not looking for steaks. They're not looking for shrimp scampi. They're looking for bread. The basic necessities. And what do we need? We need the basic necessity of the bread of life. That's why we take communion so often, because that bread was broken for us. He's the bread of life, and he was broken for you and I. Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? Our money fails. Gee, you sense that going on in America a little bit, maybe? Your money failing a little bit? You know, they're meeting in Davos, Switzerland right now, the World Economic Forum, because they want to change things some more. Mm-hmm. And we see all the things that could be coming. There could be digital currency. There could be a lot of things. But we know one thing for sure. Your money isn't going to do you any good. There's only one thing that's going to keep you, sustain you, and hold you, and get you through all of this, and that's your relationship with Jesus. Oh, it isn't going to be how much money you have and how big a house you have and how wonderful you are. It's how wonderful our Jesus is. Oh, give him the glory. And so Joseph says in verse 16, well, give me your cattle and I'll give you for your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with the bread for all their cattle for that year. So they bring everything to him, just like we should be bringing everything to Jesus. Lord, it's all yours. You're the one that's in charge. You're the one. Give me the basic necessities. Give me life. Give me the bread of life so that I can live. And you know what? You will do anything to stay alive. We see that even people in comas fight, their bodies fight to stay alive. In this natural state, these bodies will do anything to stay alive. And sometimes it's horrible things that we do just to stay alive. We'll sacrifice each other just to stay alive instead of giving our life for others. Just the complete opposite of what Jesus did. It's amazing the difference between the spiritual and the natural. Oh, Lord, help us to be more spiritual. Walk by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and do your will, Lord. So they brought all those things, and Joseph fed them for that year. Doesn't Jesus feed us in the years that we're in? Oh. And when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from you, my Lord. They can't anyway, but they're trying to be honest, at least. We'll not hide it from you how that our money is spent. My Lord also has our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? How can we do this? They're struggling. They're laboring. They're not trusting, but they're in that place of just hurting. And instead of giving it to the Lord, notice all that we have left is our land and our bodies. What does the Lord want? Does he want your land or does he want your heart? He says in Matthew, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Do you hear any rest in these people that are talking as they come to Joseph? But they're coming to the one that can give them rest. They're coming to the one who can give them everything that they need. It's amazing. In their desperation, they'll even come to church. And weren't you and I desperate sometimes, once upon a time, before we came to Jesus? And somebody said, come to church. And we went to church and heard the word for the first time, with hearts that were willing and ready to be saved. And we found rest for our souls. Aren't you glad that you can have rest for your soul now? Another thing to be thankful for. That we have rest. That we have peace. That we have joy. That we have Jesus. Because he found us. Wherefore shall we die before your eyes? They're whining again. Both we and our land, buy us in our land for bread, and we and our land will be your servants unto Pharaoh, and give us your seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. You see the picture of what's going on here, and you relate it to Revelation, and you see why the people who don't know Jesus will have Antichrist rule over them, because they want somebody ruling over them. They need somebody to rule over them, and they'll take the Antichrist as long as it's not God. Because we're all worshipers, but we worship the true and the living God. But the world worships a false God, and they're going to continue to worship a false God. But thank you, Lord, we aren't going to see him, because we're going home before he comes. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to meet him. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, and for the Egyptians sold every man his field because of famine prevailed over him, so the land became Pharaoh's. This guy's getting rich. And he's getting rich, why? Because of Joseph. Oh, why are we rich? Not because we're doing anything. It's because of our Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. You people are richer than anybody in the world. You may not drive the best cars. You may not have the best clothes. But you've got the riches inside of you that are richer than anything the world can give you right now. I don't care how much money Buffett has or George Soros. I've got more riches than he can ever give me. Don't look to the ones in the world. Look to the one who created the world. Look to him. And as for the people, it says in verse 21, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. So they're in a place, they're tax exempt. But it isn't going to be forever, is it? Because there's always legislation going on, and there has been for years, it just hasn't passed yet, where churches are no longer going to be tax exempt. And you know the danger of that is that some of the pastors, some of the priests, some of those leaders of those churches are counting on that tax exemption to get their churches through. Because you know what? People are in those natural states. If they find out they don't have a tax deduction at the end of the year for what they gave to the church, they aren't going to give to the church, because they're not giving as unto the Lord. They're giving as unto Caesar. I want a benefit from giving to God. You're already getting a benefit from giving to God. We don't give because he needs it. We don't give because we have to. We give because we get to. Oh, thank you, Lord. But once that tax exemption goes, you're going to see hundreds of churches closing. They're closing now because they can't afford it. That's why they have to sell more indulgences. Oh, did I say that out loud? I would never do that. Okay, I did. I lied. So he didn't buy their land. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. Even in the famine, even when they were willing to give up everything, he was still giving them something, even though they still hadn't asked for their hearts to be changed. Oh, isn't that like Jesus? He's still giving out grace and mercy. We're in the age of grace. In that dispensational time we call the age of grace. And we're in that time. And from verses 23 to 26, we see the goodness that Joseph brings, just like the goodness of our God. I have bought you. I've taken everything that you have, but I'm going to give you something in return. Oh, the world doesn't give us anything in return. They just keep taking. But God always gives. In fact, he's given us eternal life. The wages of sin, the payment of sin, the stuff that you get for sin is paid for. But God gives eternal life. No cost, no price, a free gift from Jesus. Oh. And it shall come to pass in the increase that you shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own. Look at what he does. I've got everything that you have. I can keep even more. Just think of what he could bring into the coffers of Egypt. And yet what does he do? He gives them four-fifths and only takes a fifth. Grace and mercy. Oh. And that's what God gives to us. said, Lord, I don't have anything to give. And he says, well, I'll give it to you anyway. I'll give you wisdom for the days that you're in. I'll give you comfort when family passes. I'll give you hope in the midst. I had a couple people come up and ask me how I could do the service, the funeral service for my grandson. God's grace, God's comfort. That's the only way I could do it. Because I hurt. It's hard. It goes deep. But his comfort is bigger than my pain. And his comfort is going to be bigger than your pain and your hurt. I don't care what cancer you have. I do, but I don't. Because I know that God has more for you than what cancer can do to you. Cancer can take from you. God gives more. Trust him. Keep looking to him. And look at what they say unto him in verse 25. And they said unto him, you have saved our lives. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Put Jesus in there. He saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And to see what they're saying, because we've seen grace, we want to be a servant. If you know the grace of God, then you can be the servant of God. But until you know the grace of God, you aren't going to serve anything but yourself. You need to know God's grace before you can really be a servant. Because servants represent their masters. And if our master is gracious, how much do we need to be? Oh Lord, please make me a good servant that gives grace. You saved us. Amen. And Joseph made it a law in verse 26 over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth part except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelled in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and they grew and they multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, and the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. You know what's cool? In the midst of this, in verse 28, and I know we're getting close here, so hang on, but he lived in the land how many years? 17. How old was Joseph when he got sold? 17. You think God doesn't restore the years that the locust has taken? He'll restore to you all that the world has taken away from you. If you give your heart to him and trust him and walk with him, he'll restore all those things. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. Notice what the Lord calls him. It's not Jacob now. It's Israel. Not Jacob, a dirty, sneaky thief. It's Israel, the one who's governed by God. That's you and I. He changes our names from the dirty, sneaky thieves that we were. And we're now the ones called, we're governed by God, that he must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in your sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. This is how they made their agreements in the day. And deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and you shall carry me out of Egypt. This is not my home. And bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as you have said. Isn't that what we cry out for Jesus for? Don't let me be buried here where my natural state was. Let me come to heaven where my spiritual state is. Let me come and be with you. Wouldn't it be awful if we lived this whole life and then we died and just got thrown in the ground? Oh, and that's it? That's it? But we have a sure promise from our Jesus that goes beyond this. Oh, Lord, help us to grab a hold of that and hang on to it. And he said, swear unto me, and he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon his bed's head. Amazing. Let me just read to you a couple scriptures, and we'll finish up here. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, we see the hall of faith here that we call it. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, and down in verse 21, well, 20, we'll start with, and says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith Jacob, when he was dying, and folks, don't think just because you're a Christian you're not going to die. Some of us are going to die. And the longer Jesus waits, the more of us are going to go. We went to Mary and Patrick's wedding yesterday. It's so much better being at a wedding in the house of God than it is a funeral. But boy, the funerals, you know what scripture says? It says it's better to be in the house of mourning because your hearts get checked then. You find out where your hearts really are. if you're having a great time and there's a great wedding, yahoo, everybody's happy. But when you go into a place and there's hardship and there's hurt and God can come in and comfort, then you see much more of your own heart. But he says when he was a dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and what? Worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. The thing that was holding him up, he worshipped on top of it. What's holding you up? If you're Jesus, if it's Jesus for you, the staff that he's giving you, the thing that holds you up is his presence in your life, and you worship. Jacob went from being a dirty, sneaky thief to becoming a worshiper of God. And that's what God does in people's lives that come to salvation. They stop being dirty, sneaky thieves as God moves in their lives, as God moves in their hearts, and they come to a place of worshiping because they know they're not worthy. They know he's the one that's kept us. Do you realize when you leave here and you get home, it's not because you're a good driver you get home. I don't care how many Allstate policies you have. You're not in that good of hands. If you're in the hands of Jesus, that's why you got home. There was an article in one of the sites that I went to, and the snowplow drivers are crying out for people to stop being so crazy and to stop running into the snowplows because they've had so many people running into snowplows from the last few storms that the snowplow drivers are crying out, please stop running into us. Like they have a choice. You hit the ice, you're gone. Hello. And we're not even guaranteed today anyway. We could go right now. Goodbye. Oh, just kidding. I'm here. It's his time. Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit, Jesus said. And what should we be crying out? Lord, into your hands, help me to be moldable and pliable so that you can make me what you want me to be. And help me to be a worshiper, not just one who has salvation, but one who loves that salvation, one who worships the one who's given me that salvation. It says this in Psalm 22, and we'll finish up here, 29. And all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. And all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. You can't keep alive your own soul. Only he does it. He's the author and the finisher of your faith and your life. Hold on to him. So, Father, as we come this morning and we prepare our hearts to take communion, as we realize what you've done and all the pictures that we've seen this morning, Lord, of just your goodness and your grace and your mercy, your long-suffering with us, as Joseph was long-suffering with the people in the lands around him, long-suffering just to bless them. Lord, help us to be in a place where if we've been hindering the work of your Spirit, Lord, if we've been saying no to you, if you've been calling us and we just don't want to listen because we don't like what we see, Lord, may we have a different heart this morning. And may we come to you and repent and turn, Lord. We ask this morning that you check our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves just to see what you want to show us this morning, Lord. We all have things hidden in those deep recesses of our heart that we don't even know about. But if today is the day that you choose to reveal those things to us, Lord, then help us to give them to you, that you would change us. Because we don't want to stay the same. We don't want those things hidden in our lives, Lord, that would come out someday when we don't want them to. Instead of showing you, we show the condition of our heart. Lord, please, do your work today. Minister to us. So examine us, Lord, as we sit before you. And Father, have your way with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we are so thankful for the work that you accomplished on the cross, Lord, as you took our place because we had a price we couldn't pay, and you came to pay that price for us. Thank you for being the substitute that we needed, Lord. May we see more and more of you, and that our response to you would be that we would love you more. Tells us this in Scripture, that he took the bread, gave thanks, he broke it, and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you," another gift that he gives us. "This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Father, we're so thankful for the price that was paid. What a costly price. Cost you your own dear son. Thank you, Lord, for paying that huge a price for us, those who don't deserve it. We never have deserved it. We never will deserve it. But you give it freely to us and for us. And so we give you thanks, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's partake.